Hey, you're listening to the Speaking of Music podcast.
Hey guys.
We're back.
Yeah.
And we have a very important episode.
This is long overdue, but we are going to be talking about Midnights today, and that is so terribly exciting, and we have so much to say in so little time, so I'm going to hand it over to Victoria.
Yeah, so Midnights is Taylor Swift's 10th studio album, and it was released October 21st, 2022, and the original track list had 13 tracks, of course, but three hours after that one came out, Taylor decided to surprise her lovely fans with 7 more tracks on the 3 a.m. edition.
Let's be real, though. Like, she just wanted 13 on the original.
Yeah. But we will be discussing the 3 a.m. tracks in a different episode, so this one will be focused on the original 13.
So stay tuned for that episode, but for now, let's get right into rankings. Okay, so I'll start then. You know, that's life. So my rankings, actually, I hate them so much. That's a really fun fact about this. Like, let me preface this with, like, I don't like them, but I also don't know how to change them to make me like them.
I agree.
Okay, so my rankings are You're On Your Own, Kid, Maroon, Mastermind, Labyrinth, Karma, Sweet Nothing, Lavender Haze, Antihero, Snow on the Beach, Midnight Rain, Bejeweled, Question, and Vigilante Shit.
Okay, fun fact, I'm actually really happy with my rankings. Not because, like, I'm happy slandering the songs, but because it took me a while to, like, actually make them the way that I did. So mine are Sweet Nothing, Labyrinth, Maroon, Mastermind, You're On Your Own, Kid, Lavender Haze, Midnight Rain, Karma, Snow on the Beach, Antihero, Bejeweled, Question, and Vigilante Shit.
And my rankings are Maroon, Lavender Haze, Labyrinth, Karma, You're On Your Own, Kid, Mastermind, Antihero, Midnight Rain, Sweet Nothing, Snow on the Beach, Bejeweled, Vigilante Shit, and Question. All right, let's dive right into the opening track, which is Lavender Haze. I do want to say, the first time I think that anyone listened to this album and pressed play, there was a little bit of a jump scare, a little bit of a shock, because none of us knew what to expect. We had no idea what genre this was going to be going in. We didn't know what sound we were expecting. So this song definitely was, it was a little bit of a shock.
Yeah. But I think that the Meet Me at Midnight, very millennial of her, but really cute of her. Like, it was cute. And I was staring at my ceiling at 5 a.m. listening to this. This is, like, a true story. Like, I woke up at, like, 5 a.m. I was like, oh, time to listen to Taylor Swift. Literally, I was like, oh, time to listen to Taylor Swift. So I just, like, rolled over on my bed, and I was just, like, staring at the ceiling. And then the line, like, staring at the ceiling with you comes out. I was like, yes.
I was also in bed when I listened to this album, but I waited. I stayed up until midnight, and I was staring at the ceiling just in the darkness. That's how I always listen to all my new
That's
albums.
That's how I listen to this, like, album.
In the darkness, always, because I always wait. If I'm excited for it and I'm waiting up until midnight, unless for some other reason I can't, like, I'll just be staring at the ceiling, like, laying down, like, in the, like, dead man's position. Sometimes hands over the chest. Like, you never know.
Yeah, no, I did a little hands over the chest moment.
And if the song starts getting me really excited, I'll start dancing in my bed.
Okay, well, the song did have a good energy.
It really did.
This was a really good opener. I think that this song, there was no other song that could have done what this song did for this album, on the album.
Let me just say, it scared me a little bit when, like, the O's were coming in. Yeah. Like,
I was like, uh-oh. I was like, what is happening?
I was like, this could be very bad. But it was not, in fact, bad. So that was exciting.
The first verse is just, for me, that one takes the cake.
Okay, the first time I listened to it, I was like, okay, this is good. But as I listened to it more, it grew on me so much. Like, it was good from the first listen, but the attachment came later for me. And I think the main part of it was the pre-chorus with the yeah, oh yes.
Yeah.
That's, oh my God, I can't get enough of that.
I feel like all of these songs, when the day after this album came out, I was like, yeah, it's good. And then the growing and the appreciation actually, like, started happening after the fact. But, like, Lavender Haze was one that, like, I didn't really need the time to be like, yeah, this is a good song.
Right.
You know?
Before we move on, I just want to point out, when she was doing the promo for this and she had that little video thing explaining, like, what Lavender Haze meant, I thought that was really cute. I thought that was a nice way to, like, you know, touch on the whole lover, like, loverness of the song.
Well, she only explained tracks 1 and 3.
I know. This song is really reminiscent of the Lover era.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's move on to a song that was not reminiscent of the Lover era, which is Maroon, although it kind of was.
It kind of was. Okay. Oh, my God.
I'm very happy that we all appreciate Maroon because I see some people who are hating on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Those people exist?
I know.
I literally want to cry because it's so good when she goes in with like the burgundy on my t-shirt, how you splash your
one.
Like the tempo entire... and like, the whole flow of that whole verse literally makes me want to cry. It's kind of reputation-y in the way she created the flow, right, but not in the sound, which I really like because the thing I like most about Reputation is like, it's not the production, although I do love that. I just love the way she like structured her melodies in that album. I feel like that's something she like made strides in that album with that.
And what I love so much, first of all, I love how she like definitely romanticizes the idea of the color maroon in a way that I've never thought about before. The burgundy on my t-shirt, how the blood rushed into my cheeks.
Like, okay, my favorite line is the rust that grew between telephones.
Like, because, oh, we stopped talking. No, the rust that grew between telephones?
The lyrics in this particular song are definitely a lot of my favorite lyrics of the album come from this song. And I just think that the way that she, again, you know, the whole red to maroon thing we have happening was very smart of her, very, very mastermind of her.
Yeah. I was like, I didn't even think about it the first, like maybe one or two times that I listened to it. And then wait, because obviously maroon is reminiscent of a relationship, right? And it's looking back. So I was like, a lot of the lyrics had connections to her earlier songs and maybe not intentionally, and maybe they're not referencing the same things, but I was thinking like, you know, how you splash your wine into me, you know, like, and clean has like the wine stained dress or whatever. But then I was like, wait, maroon is a shade of red.
What? No way.
Okay, yeah, it's like a more sophisticated red.
It's more grown up.
Yeah, but I thought of it as like, okay, so first of all, they're both track 2, which Victoria pointed out to me. So it, like, I was like, oh, they're related. And then I was like, wait, like loving him was red. She's talking about this fiery romance. And then maroon, she's looking back at a romance and she's like, oh, well, it's over.
Yeah, and I really like how the story is told in this song, starting with verse 1 when you still see them in the whole relationship.
On the floor with your roommate.
That's Crouton Rosé.
That's how. I love that so much.
But then you get to verse 2 and it's about how they're not, or like they're getting out of the relationship like at that point, and how the chorus changes from "and I chose you" to "I lost you."
Yeah.
Just the storytelling element works so well in this song as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. We're going to move on. We can talk about Maroon all day, but we're going to move on to Antihero. And okay, we have a lot to say about this one too.
This was the lead single. So this is the one that got promoted
It was a good choice for a lead single. Yeah. I think it was a good choice between really, really catchy and really upbeat, but also very meaningful.
Yes. And the music video was really good.
It was.
Okay, I literally wanted to cry the first time I heard this. I was like, what is going on? I was like, she was like, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. I think you can pull up because I was live. I was like texting my reactions into the Speaking of Music group chat, like as this was happening, because I knew both of them were asleep.
Right.
So I was like, let me just like get all my thoughts out. And so I was just like typing like as I went on and like sending messages. Oh my God, I looked crazy. I looked insane. I must have sent like over 100 messages that night with no response.
No,
in between.
But then like, yeah.
And then I was like, oh my God. I was like, she just said sexy baby. I was like,
that line threw me off so bad too.
Yeah, I was like, I rewinded it. The first verse has my entire heart. Like every single line of that verse is just spot on. I have this thing where I get older, but just never wiser. Midnights become my afternoons. Yeah. Just the flow of everything and the perfect placement of every idea.
We could talk about Taylor's lyrics forever, and this song also has such a good she uses her words properly in this song,
right
there's, I feel like even with Taylor you get a range, like some songs they're, the words are just more like generalized, but this song, right. One of my favorite lines is in the second pre-chorus where she goes, did you hear my covert narcissism I disguised as altruism like some kind of congressman.
That's a lot of big words.
I was like, okay, lady, stop making me feel dumb. But then the I was like, wait, I know what that means.
It's the thing is that it makes sense too. It's not even like she's just like big words throwing, like it makes sense.
I hate when people just throw
big words. Know Sophia.
Yeah, we know. Okay. Like, okay, actually in that pre-chorus, I just wanted to talk about like I wake up screaming from dreaming, one day I'll watch as you're leaving. And that just has so many ties back to her earlier music, like in Afterglow when she's like, oh, like I made it up, or even in The Great War when she talks about like, maybe it's my past screaming from the crypt, like telling me to punish you for things you never did. And like just all these lyrics of her like having distrust in her partners, or even Peace where she's like, yeah, like I couldn't give you anything, but like, you know, I couldn't give you that peace that you could have with anyone else, but would it still be enough? I don't know. I just love that this song, she talks about how like personal and emotional it is to her. And I feel like you can just tell because like in all her other music, all these themes are like coming together in this song.
I think that this album overall has that very unique characteristic because of the whole concept of that it's supposed to be from 13 Sleepless Nights throughout her career. And so you can get like a more insightful look into her past and her feelings at certain moments in time.
All right. So now we're going to talk about Snow on the Beach. And I'm not going to lie, I had such a burning hatred for the song the first time I listened to it.
Really? So yeah. This song is featuring Lana Del Rey. And I think
not. Let's not lie. It's not featuring Lana Del Rey.
It literally is when she goes, "How we fallen?"
Okay, but I think the thing is that because of the whole, just the idea of a Taylor and Lana collaboration, just put people's expectations for this song on a different level, and I just feel like people were expecting so much from it.
But this song is actually so beautiful. I've repented my ways. I've gone back. Like, I've begged for forgiveness from this song because these lyrics are just so beautiful.
Right.
Like, beyond beautiful.
Okay. Especially the verses.
Yeah. The verses definitely. When
she goes, the chorus is...
Okay. I have things to say. So hold that thought really quick. Let Anusha.
Like, there's just... It's so very like storybook of her. It's it's so calming and just beautiful. And we talk about her lyricism every 2 seconds in this episode and every other Taylor episode, but just the it's such an art to choose a specific set of words to describe an idea that could be described in a totally different way. Like, these words just make sense in the context of snow and love and beauty. And
so what I'm not gonna lie to you, when this collab was announced, I expected this exact thing to happen. I expected it to be a slow song with her as background vocals because, you know, I listen to Breathe, okay? I listen to Soon You'll Get Better. I listen to all those songs. So I know the deal. I know the drill. I know that Phoebe was an anomaly.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think people wanted another Nothing New.
And you weren't gonna get that, okay? So I was actually, when I was listening to it the first time, I specifically remember sending a text that was like, wait, I think this might be my favorite so far, which is funny because now it's lowest on my rankings out of the first 4 tracks. But then it also grew on me because it used to be last. I don't know. I just feel like I expected too little of this collab, actually. And I was like, yeah, this is gonna be bad. And then it wasn't bad. It was actually good. And I got over the fact that the chorus threw me off a little bit because I just thought like the verses were literally the most gorgeous thing I'd ever heard in my entire life. And then sometimes the chorus for me just was like, okay,
no, it's
like,
yeah, flat. Yeah. The chorus is a little like they could have put a little more.
And what irked me from the beginning was just the badly placed F-bomb.
Yeah, because I love the F-bomb she throws in Maroon because people are so quick to be like, oh, you just don't like Taylor cursing because, like, you're not used to it. Like, no. Like,
I love the F-bomb in Cowboy Like Me. I love it in Betty. Like, I love, when she does it right, it's perfect.
No, I love when in The Man, the way she goes, yes. Like, oh, the way she does it in, like, the Bridge of the Man. She's so real for that. And the way she usually enunciates the curse word is, like, even better. Because, like, you could tell she hasn't been able to write music with curse words for so long. And then she goes, ah!
No, but in this one, my problem with it was, like, a hippie F-bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, like, the way she says it, it's, like, really, like, stoned.
Yeah.
Okay, I do think that this song has its place on the album. It has its unique sound. And it has its, you know, it has its good lyrics. And I like the outro, the whole it's coming down, fading out bit.
Yeah, I like that.
And as you two already said, the whole, like, I feel like we came into it with the wrong mindset. I definitely hate it less than I did before.
What? Do you still not like it?
No, but okay. If you want to think about it as like relative likeness, like it's still near the bottom of my rankings, but like, it's not like the first few times I was listening to this album, it was like
the verse
anomalously, like
the verses like fully converted me, but we have to move on. Okay, we're gonna talk about You're On Your Own Kid now.
Okay, I love this song so much. It's exactly the type of song I like. I said that.
It really yes, is. It is. Okay, so this song is track 5, which is an important track.
I don't know how to feel about this being track 5, though.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I thought she would put Antihero at track 5. Because, like, it's the type of thing she would do. It was kind of, like, delicate type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't sound like a really sad song, but, like, it is. Whereas this one is, like, I don't know.
I don't know if this was the right choice for the track 5. I agree with that. But I'm not angry at it per se.
But it's a hair song on the album, so I feel like weird saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. So this song, okay, this song I feel like has a different feel. We get a little bit of a different. I feel like this has a much more storytelling type of lyricism than the earlier tracks did. And I know Sophia's going to bring this up, but like the coming of age moviness of especially the bridge.
Yeah. Okay, so what I wanted to say is I literally died every time she, like, started talking in this.
I literally died every time she opened her mouth in this song.
Yeah.
I literally died dead. R.I.P. me. I love how we both went.
I see myself in this song. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that such an annoying thing to say? But, like, I really connect with this. But I feel like I do. And I just love the pre-chorus when she goes, like, sprinkler splashes to
the alliteration.
Ashes. Oh my god,
the
it
alliteration
so good.
Of sprinkler splashes makes me want to cry.
I searched the party of better bodies just to learn that you never cared. I literally wanted to cry, especially when in the second pre-chorus it changed to just to learn that my dreams weren't rare, because like I felt like every single part of that in my bones. I was like, I'm not original. I was like, everyone else is just like me.
The genius annotation is so funny. Taylor has a habit of experiencing epiphanies at parties and social gatherings.
The moment I knew it. Now.
It is! Anyway, so I think that what Sophia is trying to say is that she relates very much.
Sorry, I'm getting emotional. You can tell when I really have things to say and they're not quite coming out, right? That I really like this song.
I do really enjoy the whole upliftingness, like how we it kind of starts, I guess, sad, like not really, but I guess it starts out sad, but then we get the whole, so make the friendship bracelets, take the moment and taste it, you've got no reason to be afraid at the end of the bridge, and you just feel so like good about yourself.
This song I associate so heavily with, like, she's like, the scary part is you're on your own now, but the cool part is
you're on your own now.
I'm like, that's this song.
Okay.
Like a sentence.
We're going to move on to Midnight Rain.
Jump scare galore. This one?
No. I have a story about this song. So I listened to this album one lovely morning, not for the first time, but I listened to it. And then I was just thinking about my deep hatred for Midnight Rain. Then I picked Sophia up from her house and we drove to Five Below. And then I was like, I really hate Midnight Rain. She's like, no, it's not that bad. Like she was like, it's not that bad. Like, I don't hate it. It's like not in the top of my rankings.
This was like the day, 2 days up.
Yeah. She was like, it's not at the top of my rankings, but it's like not at the very bottom either. I was like, no, I hate this song. Then I go home and then I listen to it like 3 times out of like impulse. And I was like, dang it, this song is so good.
Okay, wait. I'm like going up to my like millions of texts and I'm trying to see what I said within Midnight Rain. Very Lord.
Oh, you said jump scare.
It is a jump scare.
I went, what the F? Midnight Rain, jump scare, in all caps, 3 separate text messages. And then,
hello Chromatica. I thought that was so funny because when I read that, I was like, what?
Then you understand what I was saying.
Yeah, but then it's also like not.
Okay.
But it is, but it's not.
I love this song because it's in the most literal sense, her declaring that she is the problem. She's like, he was sunshine, I was midnight rain. Like, I love
that's that what made it Chromatica to me.
Declaration of being the problem so much. Also, I love the slow motion love potion part.
Slow motion.
No, the verses have such a good flow of the, like, the phrases that she uses. I really like, you know, there's the intro in the like the modified voice thing.
I love that pitch. That's down. It's so addictive.
It is addictive. But then when she comes in with "My Town is a Wasteland," it feels so satisfying. Like,
yeah,
because the production works really well with it, and it's like kind of like you have that little like warp moment. It's like,
yeah,
and
yeah,
then she comes in.
No, another part I like is that most of the choruses are this like warped synth pitch down thing, but then like towards the end she comes in with her own voice overlaying. Oh my God. That's really satisfying. It's so too good.
No, the production of this song is just so unique. Something that I feel like a lot of people definitely weren't like, when I think of Taylor Swift I think of this production. Like, no.
Well, I feel like that's a very rare sentence.
Okay, that's true.
Only you would say that.
I didn't love this song when I first listened. I didn't have a deep burning hatred for it that apparently Anusha did.
No, I was like, what is this girl?
But I knew that it was the type of song that I needed to like sit with. And
I thought you'd have a lot more issues with this production when I first listened to it. Like when after the first listen, I was like, oh, Victoria's not gonna like this one.
Well, okay, it's not that. It's the thing is, okay, when I first listened to it also, I was like, I was like, I don't suspicious. Know. This is a little suspicious. But then, like I said, once you like, I guess, get used to it and you start thinking about the other parts, like not just focusing on the sound of it, then you can appreciate it a lot more.
I love how I get a visceral feeling every time I listen to a song on whether or not Victoria would like it. Like,
yeah,
like just her. Like, sometimes I listen to songs, so I was like, yeah, Anusha would for sure like this one, or like someone else would for sure like this one. But like, I know, like in my bones, when Victoria's gonna like a song.
And it's really gratifying when I really like a song, and I was like, oh, Victoria's gonna hate this one. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's a really gratifying
experience. It's like, the rats aren't gonna like this one, but the rats don't run this city. We do. But Victoria's the rat.
Excuse me. I was just about to say, did you just call me a rat? And you just did.
That's exactly what I did.
Okay, let's move on to question. Okay, so this,
when she sampled Out of the Woods, the first thing I said when I listened to this song was, oh my God, she just put Out of the Woods
into the song.
She sampled her own song. Isn't that such a girl boss move? Sorry, I cut
like
you
imagine
off.
Imagine being famous enough to do that.
No, literally. Before this song even came out, all three of us, we had a little concern about the title and the...
Rightly so.
The formatting especially just threw me off, just because I feel like in general she doesn't put a lot of punctuation.
It just didn't, like, it just wasn't necessary.
It was weird. We talked about this in our Hot Takes episode, which actually is one of my favorite episodes we've recorded to date. I think it's so funny.
Okay.
Sorry.
We will be doing more of those. This song to me gives so much single vibes. Like, this could be a single. That's what it gives to me. Like, it could be a single.
No. I would have been mad if this would have been a single off of this song.
I would not. No,
I would have.
This sounds so much like a single to me.
No, I would have. Because I just have a lot of problems with it. And these are opinions that I'm not really going to repent, I have a feeling. Like,
no, yeah, me too.
Like, with Midnight Rain, I was like, maybe I could like this in the future. I hate it right now, though. But, like, with this song, I was like, I'm not going to repent these
opinions. Okay, it's kind of funny, though, because I didn't really love Question when I first listened to it, but then like a week after the album came out, I was in like a big Question phase for no reason.
That surprises me.
But it's weird. It was like weird because I was like, I don't like it, but then I liked it. You know what I mean? But now I'm out of that. It's like, I'm pretty sure it's last on my rankings. Whoopsies.
First of all, the good girl,
sad boy.
Big city, wrong choices.
I literally wanted to cry when I heard that.
Okay, but the thing is that the first verse has the lyric, my favorite lyric of the song, which is, because I don't remember who I was before you painted all my nights a color I've searched for since.
That one is good.
I love that lyric.
It's not like the best lyric off of the album, though. Like, it's good lyric.
Okay, in the song, I think it's
time
the best lyric.
Time can't stop me,
but
like you did. I don't know why I'm so attached to that.
I love that lyric so much.
Although I think The Great War might have some of the best lyrics.
The Great War. Okay, I'm going to go through my second problem. The chorus starts off with, can I ask you a question? And then she asks like 17 questions. Okay.
She's going on a spiral.
She's like, can I ask you a question? And then she goes in with the most like violating specific. Like, if someone came up to me and asked me this type of question, I'd be
God,
what the
no,
hell?
No, literally. Like, how it ends with, do you wish you could still touch her? It's just a question.
The whole part is like
no, it's not. This is an accusation.
No, well, that's the point.
Yeah, but it's like, it feels really violating.
No, because I think it's funny because, like, yeah, it feels like four questions in the first part, but it's really just one long question. It's like, she's like, did you ever have someone kiss you in a crowded room? And
every single one of your friends was making fun of you.
But 50 seconds later, they were clapping too. Then what did you do?
That's two separate questions. That one was one question. And then the second question is, then what did you do? Did you leave her house in the middle of the night? Oh. Did you wish you'd put up more of a fight? That's four. When you said it was too much, five. Do you wish you could still touch her? Six.
Okay, but when she said it was too much,
and can I actually okay. Question.
When she says, can I ask you a question? That's literally a question.
So, yeah, so seven. Can I ask you a question? Would you like to listen to an ad break? The answer is yes, you would. So here's one for you now. Hey guys, we're back. Actually, wait, that's the beginning. Okay, we're back from our ad segment.
Okay guys, so we're back. We need to take maybe a little bit, we should have probably taken a little bit longer of a breather before jumping right into the second half of the episode, but you know what, we're here and we're ready to talk about vigilante shit.
Okay, so I will start this discussion apparently because you guys are not emotionally ready for this. Okay, so this song I feel like was another one of those ones where when the track title was released, we were a little questionable. We didn't really know where this song was gonna go.
This is true.
However, yeah, it makes a lot of sense where it ended up going with the whole like rep vibes.
Yeah, the reppy vibes. I saw a theory that this song is about Scooter Braun's wife.
Oh, I saw that too. Yeah, I saw that, like, too.
That's so.
I thought it just so was about
Scooter Braun's wife. I mean, it's not like she said that.
I've seen theories that it's about Kim.
Ooh.
Kim K.
That's an interesting theory. I doubt it, though.
I doubt it, too. I think it's more likely. Yeah, but like
the ex-wife thing, though.
Yeah, but I also feel like, Taylor doesn't get along with the Kardashians. Like, you know,
no, she doesn't, but it's not saying in the song, it doesn't say that she's, like, BFFs with this girl now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay, well, okay. I think the Scooter one makes so much sense.
Yeah. No, thickest thieves with your ex-wife. Because I feel like Kim betrayed her just as much as Kanye did that one time. And Kendall, too. Oof, that was rough. Anyway, we're not going to talk
about it. I have a really hot take about this song.
All right.
Like, okay. She's ready. She's like, all right. No, okay. Like, everyone on Twitter is like, yeah, like, this is so rap. Like, this is, like, so good. And everyone's, like, hyping it up a lot. It is rap, but I'm not going to lie. I feel like it tries too hard to be rap.
No, I understand what you're saying. Like,
it just tries really, really, really hard to be, like the Reputation song, but Reputation wasn't all like angry and like draw the cat eyes sharp enough to kill a man and like, oh, like she's this like girl boss, like hot independent woman. Like, it wasn't all that. Like, yes, that's what the general idea of the album is, but the song just tries really, really hard to fit into that category, but it's just not as good as stuff off of Rep.
No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah,
I'm gonna agree with Anisha on this one because the idea of Rep to me as an album is very much like the whole wide world sucks so bad sometimes. And I didn't understand that before. And I let like the vision the world had of me define who I am. And now I'm not going to do that anymore because I've surrounded myself finally with the people who lift me up no matter what, matter what my reputation will be. And
it was more positive than people like to think of.
Yeah, Reputation to me is such a positive album. It's an album about falling in love. It's like Lover isn't the album you fell in love in. Lover is staying in love, you know? I just think that maybe like the production was sort of Taylor-y. And I think the most rep part of it for me is like the bridge. Like, it kind of gives I Did Something Bad a little bit. Like, ladies always rise above, you know? Ladies know what people want.
Okay, I feel like the structure was a little interesting because I think when I was first listening to it, I expected it to go somewhere more
like to like get bigger, mm-hmm. and it just didn't.
It stayed small.
But I still like the third verse. While he was doing lines and crossing all of mine, mm-hmm. someone told his white collar crimes to the FBI.
That's literally one of my favorite lyrics. I love
it. It is. But like the structure and the flow of the song just isn't my favorite. And it tries really hard to be this like super like dark, like underground, like super main character villain type of anthem.
I feel like people just try to make it what it is. Like, I think it's just a fun song to listen to sometimes. It's not my favorite. It will never be my favorite, but like, yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't really have that many bad things to say about it. What I do like to talk about is how Taylor thirst trapped to like with the eyeliner thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I literally wanted to cry. I thought that was so funny. Okay, but let's move on to
Bejeweled.
I think it's kind of interesting that this is coming right after the dark
I think it's intense. Villain character.
I think it's
funny. Yeah. It's like the rep lover pipeline.
So this was the second single.
And it was a good choice for a single.
Okay, I do think that this gives single vibes.
It does. It does. And it's a good single. I'm not mad that it was a single.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I also do think, though, that the word Bejeweled threw me off when I first saw it on the track list.
Same.
And even when I was like listening to this
swipey game.
Yes. That's so it was definitely like a weird thing that I had to work out in my head.
It was just really fun.
I think this song would be so funny if it was called Nice with an exclamation point.
I would have cried so
much. She could have trolled all of us so bad with this. Like,
that would have not.
No, I'm glad it's not called Nice. Because it makes me like the song a little bit
more. Okay, the nice definitely also threw me off the first time.
I love it.
But I do like it.
It's the return of me.
It is.
And I love that. Okay, I'm a me, like, defender. Don't get me wrong. I am not an apologist of the feature. I still think that was bad. But I know that she does not defend the feature anymore either. But like the general concept of the song was literally fine. People make a big deal out of nothing. Okay, I love how she starts with baby love. And then she goes like baby boy. I just love that so much. And then
it's super alpha of her.
Yeah, it is very alpha of her.
Like it gives like she wears the pants.
Uh-huh. And I love when she was like, didn't notice you walking all over my peace of mind in the shoes I gave you as a present.
It's
like
a really, really fun song.
That's really fun. And then I just was so thrown off when she said best believe. I was like, you're not supposed to know that. You don't get to know that combination of words exists. I don't know why. I was like, that's so
I mean, weird. Alliteration. Hello.
No, but I was like, it's like, oh,
it's like best believe I'm so like, bejeweled. I love the alliteration.
I think that, again, she obviously uses her lyrics well in this song. And I think that the way she formats it makes it keep that whole like fun vibe, you know? The whole like, I don't know, it sounds like she's the whole like conversation thing when she's like, and when I meet the band, they ask, do you have a man? I could still say I don't remember. And I think the words,
that's so girl boss of her, though.
The flow of it, and it's very like keeps going, you know, like the syllables just keep coming.
Also, when she said breathes, I was like, oh god. But then it went in a different direction. I was like, she said breathes. I was like, and then she said familiarity breeds contempt. And I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Oh, and then she does, I feel like, a very like obvious, what's the word? Oh my god. Concept thing in the bridge where she just like lists a bunch of mm-hmm. Gemstones, sapphires, and moonstone.
Some guy said and my diamond. Aura's moonstone just because he was high.
Okay.
It is a very fun song, though, but we are going to move on to Labyrinth.
Okay, so the first time I listened to Labyrinth, I'm like going through my thoughts. I think this is so fun. I called it an electric gold rush mixed with The Archer.
And that's literally my favorite combination.
It kind of makes sense,
ever.
Right? It's so good. I love Labyrinth.
Like, you just
so
hear the
much.
Words electric gold rush mixed with Archer. Like, that's my ideal combination of songs ever. I sobbed the first time I heard this. I was like, oh. I was in awe. I was like, this is going to be my number one. And it almost was. But we're going to get to that
okay.
in a second.
I love the chorus where she goes, uh-oh, I'm falling in love. Oh, no, I'm falling in love. And she goes, I'm falling in love.
I saw the
I've
thing.
Seen so many
I saw
people,
the thing
like,
that was like the realization. Like, what was it?
It's like realization. And then it's the, like, I don't know, like the denial. Like the
Oh, yeah.
Like the...
She's like, uh-oh, I'm playing enough. Like, oh, no, this is like, going to end so like, badly. Like, her, all my other ones.
And then O is an acceptance.
The way she says the O is, like, so, like, soft and sweet.
And I'm like, oh. And then when she says, like, she, like, solidifies it. In case you didn't get all the uh-ohs, oh, no's, and then O's, she goes, I thought the plane was going down. How'd you turn it right around? So that's, like, you know, like, all she's, like, fallen hard, and, like, the other person hasn't, like, cared as much about her before. But now...
Okay, can Someone we also cares. Talk about the whole breathe in, breathe through, breathe deep, breathe out thing?
In her speech.
Yeah, she was a little too smart for that.
She was.
A little
it's
too
It's much. Such a good lyric. I love the breathe in, breathe through, breathe deep, breathe out. I'll be getting over you my whole life? Are you joking? That's so good.
Anyway, this song, you know when she did that whole thing like, oh, here's like the five things these songs about, and like one of them was falling in love. Like, and this song kidding? Was just like,
also, just I love
fully
the little...
encompassing. Like, that's a good, like, that was like on in tune.
Thank
I would
you.
Not be able to do that in tune.
No, because it goes really fast. It's like,
and that was less in tune.
Thank you, okay. Victoria. I really appreciate that.
Right.
I really tried hard.
Let's move on. Okay.
I'm so sad to move on from this song.
Okay, but we're gonna go to Karma now, which
Karma
was...
is my boyfriend.
Karma is not my boyfriend. Let's be real. BFFR right now. Like, Karma is not my boyfriend.
You're right. Karma is my boyfriend. Actually, it's literally... Yeah, there's no way. Because if Karma was... Do I believe in Karma? I don't know.
Karma has to be your boyfriend because your girlfriend got you Taylor Swift tickets.
Yeah, Karma is my boyfriend. But Karma is my boyfriend because I do a lot of bad things and nothing really ever happens to me. Except for every once in a while I break down. So I'm like,
every once in a while.
Like, so that's why I don't believe in Karma. Like, I feel like I just do nothing and then, like, good things happen to me.
Sure,
anyway,
girl.
But I was so excited for this. And
I think everyone was.
Karma is my boyfriend. Karma is a god. And she
Karma is a relaxing thought, actually.
I love the lyric. Karma is a relaxing thought. Aren't you envious that for you it's not?
Because everyone's like, yeah, like Karma is like this lost album. It's about like revenge and betrayal and like her inner thoughts. And then she goes, Karma is a cat. And she was so real. She really said, BFFR, Karma is my cat. Like, cats.
Purring in my lap because it loves me.
No, because the thing is that all the lyrics in this song are so, like, correct. Yeah. I feel like they're all just so Taylor of her.
Oh yeah.
Also the second verse being so clearly directed at her like old label and all the people who
oh yes
her over.
Spider Boy, king of thieves.
Yeah,
your little webs of opacity.
I love the word opacity.
My pennies made your crown. Trick me once, trick me twice, don't you know that cash ain't the only price.
It's coming back around.
Opacity
it is.
Seems like a very Victoria word.
Yeah,
sure.
Like,
it seems very, it seems very like
opacity, like that's a Victoria word.
It seems very fantasy. I think that's why.
Not the direction I was going with that, but if
also,
you want to bring it back there,
she's
then
talking emo.
Okay, emotion. Okay, but
Victoria, when you get some emotion,
my absolute favorite part of the song is Karma is the guy on the screen coming straight home to me, because this is the counterpart. I'm so convinced this is the counterpart to Sweet Nothing, where she goes where she's like running back to the love of her life, and this is the guy on the screen coming straight home to me.
Yeah,
it's like the same thing.
Like, maybe because she's talking about the same person.
Yes, she is. And they like run to each other, like they are their like the source of comfort is running back home to
I
each other.
I think it's so good when she goes, Karma's and you're sent like a bounty hunter. Karma's gonna track you down step by step from town to town. Oh my god, it's so fun. I love that like whole part of like the breakdown so much.
There's a lot of pop production in this song, but then when the breakdown, like when this happens, it gets really like stripped, and it's just like, because Karma is the thunder, it's like really ominous, and it's like, oh damn, she's coming for you. Like,
yeah,
like,
no, yeah, this
Taylor
song just
is on your scent, like
this song just did everything right.
Yeah, yeah, it was perfect. And I'm glad it wasn't like super like dark or like revengey, because it was, but it was also like,
no, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was, it did exactly what it was supposed to.
I'm
like,
not gonna lie, that's kind of how I always felt like Karma was gonna be like. And because like I was a Karma truther, I'm not gonna lie. But I just felt that like it was gonna be very 1989 like.
Yeah.
And I just thought that it was just gonna be like, look at what you've all put me through, but look at where I am. Like, all this like karma is like good for me but bad for you. So it's exactly what I thought it was gonna be. I mean, obviously the song was different, but like the theme stayed true to me. I didn't think Karma was going to be like Reputation. I feel like people gave Karma too much reputation-ness to it.
Okay, and we're going to move on to the penultimate track, much to Anusha's delight, which is Sweet Nothing.
I literally want to cry. This song is so good.
I know. I was really convinced that Labyrinth was going to be my number one for a long time, and I still could make it my number one. Like, I definitely could. But the thing that I love most about Sweet Nothing is that the style of the song and the production of it exactly reflects what it's talking about. It's just so simple, and it doesn't ask for anything. It's just a piano. It's just her voice. Like, that's it. And
I feel like this definitely gives Anusha would like this song.
Yes. This is literally, like, the exact type of song that I would like.
Okay. When she says, on the way home, I wrote a poem. You say, what a mind. This happens all the time. You're kidding. You're kidding. Someone just, like, you're just like doing your thing, just writing a poem, like pouring your heart out, and then the first thing that the person you're like talking to says is like, you, what a mind, like your mind comes up with such beautiful things, like your mind is beautiful, your brain is beautiful, and this happens all the time. Like, you're being constantly reassured that your work is valid, the things that you care about are valid. Like, that's so, that means so much to me.
One of my other favorite things is definitely obviously the chorus when she goes, they said the end is coming. Everyone is up to something. Amidst all this chaos, I find myself running home to your sweet nothings. And the word running is really important to me because it's not just, oh, like, I find myself like going home to you. I find myself coming home to you. No, it's, I find myself running home to you. Like just running away from all my problems towards you. Like, that is the best love story I've ever heard in my entire life.
I also just love how, like, sweet nothings are, like reassuring, like, mm-hmm. you know, like,
yes,
like, soothing things.
You never expected anything from me.
Right? And then it's
so,
like,
piece of her.
And it's, like, everyone wants something from me. Like, I could never, that's what she's saying. Like, everyone wants something from me. Everyone has an agenda. But all that you ever wanted to me was sweet nothing. And nothing is so sweet because she doesn't get that from anyone else. Like, the person that she loves has no expectations for her to be like this grand pop star, grand mm-hmm. country star, grand whatever. It's just like, be whoever you are and I'll like accept you either, like, any way that you come to me. And that's so beautiful.
Also, like, all the oohs is like a warm hug. Like, I put my headphones on and I listened to that and I started like floating.
I kind of think of Dorothea with the oohs. I don't know why.
I can see that. Like, the harmonies, I'm ascending, levitating, perhaps.
Yes, and she's just like levitating off her bed listening to Sweet Nothing.
Was. That was me. You have no proof that that wasn't me. But, like, I didn't really, like, pay attention. Like, I didn't think it was bad the first listen. I just didn't pay attention. I was like, oh, yeah, like, it's, like, a song on the album.
It is a song on the album.
Yeah, I was just like, but yeah. Then, like, I listened to it more closely. I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, are you kidding me? This is, like, my song.
Right. Okay, so let's move on to the final track, which is Mastermind. I had a passionate Mastermind phase. Like,
I know, I remember.
I knew you would.
Told you none of it.
So did I, though. I had, like, a very similar passionate Mastermind phase.
I feel like Mastermind in different ways is the song that all three of us would like differently. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, for separate reasons, this is exactly the kind of song that all three of us would like.
Oh, God, it is such a good, for me, it's the flow of the chorus. The chorus was my favorite part. There was, in my little Mastermind phase, I was like at the track doing my little running workout, and literally every single step I was just like singing to the chorus, like around the track, and that's what I was doing. Like, I could only sing that part of the song in my head.
I've also shared this experience. What if I told you none of it?
I was running like, to the song the other day.
Speeding. Oh my God.
And the whole point is that none of it's accidental, but neither is like her production. Like, her production is just so perfectly placed. Yes. And the way she says everything is so deliberate. So none of it is accidental in the song.
I think that this, okay, well, this song is just like a Taylor, like as Taylor should. Type of song, you know, like, yeah. She knows she's a mastermind, everyone knows she's a mastermind, like, let's just accept it.
But I love this.
No, I like it because I like the whole like planning, the whole if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Okay,
sure. You know what? Strategy sets the scene for the tale. Giving very much things that I like,
yeah,
in life.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, we all like this song for
Okay,
I do have like to say though, when I first listened to the song and we got to the bridge and she goes, "No one like wanted to play with me as a little kid,"
I was like, "What?" Wow. I was like, "Whoa!" She really said, "This is for you. This is for you."
she really was just like lonely.
Oh, also when she goes Machiavellian is such a Victoria word.
Yeah,
just so you know.
No, but like the idea that I love from this song is that she thinks that she's the mastermind behind it, but at the same time, like, she knows that she's not. Like, in the first verse, the planets and the fates and the stars align. The universe worked in her favor. So, yes, she's the mastermind, but so is the universe, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's where I was kind of going to go with this, because people are like, oh, like, Invisible String was all a lie. No, Invisible String and mastermind can coexist.
They do coexist.
They do coexist, in fact, because Invisible String is her saying, like, oh, my God, the world literally fated me to be with you. I'd like to think that I'm meant to be with you and that our whole lives, like, there's been something connecting us.
And this is so karma is my boyfriend, because like the universe has led her to this point.
Yeah. But then mastermind is her saying, yeah, the universe might have led us together, but I sure as hell was not going to let this.
She did not fumble the bag.
Yeah. She's like, I sure as hell was not going to let this get away from me. Right. And she didn't. And then he knew the whole time. So you know what?
Yeah. I like how the story, like the switch at the end.
He knew the whole time?
No, because this track in general is just such a, it's like, is Taylor. Like, the track is the 13th track, the closer of this album. The whole, like, every single part of the song is just so representative of her.
Yeah. But I also feel like, right, I think this song is so reassuring because I feel like in a way sometimes she's like, oh, I've tricked everyone into loving me. Like, no one actually loves me. Like, I, like, manipulated them into loving me. She says that in Paris. Like, she's like, yeah, I want to trick you into loving me forever. Like, you don't have to trick anyone, you know? Like, that's such a sad thing. But then mastermind, she said, you knew.
Right.
You knew that I was trying to do it, and you went in willingly. Like, you chose me just as much as I chose you. Like, I didn't trick you into anything. And that is so beautiful. And that is a beautiful way to wrap up today's episode. So thank you all so much for making it all the way through. If you want to see more content from us, especially more Taylor content, you should definitely be following us on social media.
Our Instagram is at the Speaking of Music Podcast.
And our TikTok is at Speaking of Music Podcast. So make sure to go follow both of those for all the latest updates. And as always, we'll see you next week. Bye. Bye.